If you've been with us for the past few weeks in the evening services, you'll know we've been going through the book of Genesis. And Josh Mason's going to come up in a short while after I've read the passage we're going to be looking at to do our next instalment on that. The reading is from Genesis chapter 7, and it's the whole of chapter 7. And we're also going to be looking at Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 to 19. This is page 8 in the Green Church Bibles and page 9 in the large print church Bibles. So I'll just give you a minute to turn to that. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 2 of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the seven days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals, and the creatures that move along the ground, and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. And in chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, "So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another." Josh, if you want to come up, I'll just pray for you and you can speak. Father, thank you for Josh. Thank you that you've helped him prepare for this. We pray that you would help him to speak well, to speak clearly. Just to really, that you would speak through him and we'd have hearts to listen. Amen.
Could I have it switched to the laptop, please? It's not working. Fine, I'll just do it without. Just before I start, I was told that I might have to do a bit of translating because I'm from the north and you probably won't understand a lot of what I'm saying. So this word, ark, that... this is like the worst passage for me because I'm going to have to say it so many times. By that I mean ark, A-R-K. So just bear with me for that. Ooh, something's happening. Right, I'll just carry on anyway. Okay. Right, so we've been in Genesis for a few weeks now. So I'll just give you a bit of a brief reminder of what's happened so far. So we started off in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, where God and man were in perfect relationship with each other. God walked among his people, we were told then. But then Genesis chapter 3 happens, the fall, and then boom, mankind just starts spiraling down and down and down and down. Starts off with Adam and Eve taking the apple and rejecting God's rule. And it gets even worse when they try and cover the shame and try and hide from God. And then the fruit of that is seen in chapter 3, where we have the first murder, where Cain murders his brother Abel. And from then it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and man seems to get further and further away from God. But despite that, God still holds back his judgment. And here we are at chapter 4. This is kind of the lowest point of humanity so far. We're told that people do wrong continuously. And we learned last week that God's got a plan. So God's going to blot out the whole of mankind because they're so evil. But God still pulls up a man from the mud named Noah, even though he's evil. And so when you think of the story of Noah, you probably think of like the child's book you read as kids. It's like, you know, you've got giraffe's heads poking out at the top and you've got like monkeys swinging across and everything's really happy, really cheerful. But actually, like, this is not what the Noah story is at all. The Noah story is gritty, it's brutal, it's violent, and it tests the faith to the max. So try to imagine the last few days just before the floods came crashing, swept over the whole earth. The rain's getting heavier and heavier, bit by bit, crushing with the weight behind it because it's relentless. And then rumbling from the deep comes up as well, and water bursts out of the earth. And from the heavens and from the mountains, waves come crashing in. Water's rising from your feet, slowly going up, 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 further, up to your neck. And you see people being swept away, whether that be by trees flying and hitting them, or it's just water carrying them off. And the realisation that Noah was right, and that there is a judgment coming and it's arriving. Can you imagine the horror of it, seeing people drowning, people like you know, trying to hold on to trees, anything, but realising it's too late as they look to the ark and see that the door is shut. And I think we often get this idea that Noah is kind of gleefully walking into the ark, like so happy that he's praising God. But I imagine that's not how it was at all. I mean, people that he'd live with, people, his neighbours, maybe distant relatives were out there, like banging on the door trying to get in. But he was too late. The door was shut. So this isn't a children's story. But you might ask them, what can we really learn from this? Isn't God cruel? Why on earth would we want to worship a God like that who just wipes people off the face of the earth just like that? Well, there's four things we're going to look at today that we can get from this passage. There's a warning, there's justice, there's security, and there's hope. So I think we can often think that the Old Testament's a bit irrelevant. So the New Testament is brilliant. The Gospels, yeah, they're really cool. We need those. The letters to the churches, yeah, we can do with those. But the Old Testament is just kind of nice stories. But actually, the more I've found that I've read this year, it's just all about Jesus, all the Old Testament. And we can see this in the story of the ark. Because if you're not a Christian today, this is a warning for you because this is a shadow of future judgment that Jesus is going to bring. See, last week we learned that Noah was completely evil. Noah's generation was evil, just like we are. And I think if you look down deep inside, you can kind of work out, yeah, I'm not perfect. We've all done things wrong. And we all live for different things. We all put different things in front of God, whether that's money, a good job, relationships, family, just having a good time. And by themselves, these aren't really bad things. These are good things, but we use them poorly. And we end up worshipping the created rather than the creator, and the gifts rather than the giver. And God can't just sweep this stuff under the carpet, because then he can't be a just God. And one thing that I think we pride ourselves in Christianity is that we have a God who is just. Imagine you're a teacher, and a kid has come up to you just weeping and crying because kids have bullied him, saying that he's fat. And he just gets this all the time. And you can see this bullying taking place, but you just don't do anything about it. You'd think that's a horrible teacher. You'd want justice. You want the teacher to go in there swift and hard and sort it out. Well, in Genesis chapter 6 and 8, this is a kind of mini picture of God's justice. It's a miniature but less finite picture of the justice to come as well. Because even in this passage, sin isn't completely dealt with. Because Noah and his family are still sinful. Even when they come off the ark, they're still going to be sinning. And ultimately, man falls into sin again. But chapter 3 starts off the clock for the more permanent solution. So in chapter 3, we've got the fall. And as soon as that happens, it's like there's a ticking clock waiting for the future judgment and the permanent judgment. See, the same Jesus that died for your sins is also the one who's going to come back and judge the world. And the only escape is to get in the ark. Because Jesus is this picture of the ark, kind of a mini picture, because only through the ark was Noah and his family saved. In the same way, only Jesus can save you from the coming judgment. By asking for his forgiveness, that's the only way you can escape it. Because God can't stand this constant violation to his planet, to his earth, and to the people that he created in the earth. It's detestable to him. And so in the same way that God offered an escape plan to Noah through the ark, he's offering us one through Jesus. And it's only through Jesus that we can fully escape. It's by realising that you aren't good enough and you have to let him wash you clean. So believing in the judgment, or even that there's an escape route, or being a nice person, wasn't enough for Noah. He could have said, Lord, I know that you're there. I've built this ark for you. I believe that you'll flood the earth. But ultimately, if he didn't step onto the ark, it would have made absolutely no difference whatsoever. It means absolutely nothing. The waters would have still crashed around him. He would have just been swept away along with the rest of the people at the time. In the same way, just believing in Jesus or God just isn't enough. You have to ask him to take away your sin as well. Just being a good person isn't enough, because we can't meet that standard. See, without the ark, Noah and his family were dead. And without Jesus, we're dead too, because it's only through him that we can escape this justice. So don't make the same mistake with Jesus that the people did. Saying yes to Jesus is really big. Oop. Forget that, I just went onto my wrong sheet. Oh no, I didn't. Never mind. So don't make the same mistake with Jesus. Saying yes to Jesus is really big. Like, it's an important decision. You can't just have a off-the-cuff thing. Don't just base it on just instant feelings. This is a life-changing decision. But don't make the mistake of missing the boat, like what a lot of these people did. So verse 16 says that the Lord shut the door on Noah. And I bet people were still banging on the ark, asking to be let in, scratching the doors, begging. But it was too late. They'd had so many chances, but these people had just said no, and they didn't want it until it was too late. See, God is calling non-Christians now to come to him, because he wills for everyone to come to him. So one of the amazing things about the book of Romans is this verse, Romans 10 verse 13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's everyone. So no matter how sinful you are, God can save you. Because the truth is, we are all too sinful for God. Everyone is. Me, Andy, everybody. We've all done wrong. We've all just torn away from God and kept going. But that's why what Jesus did is so amazing. He took away your sin, if you ask him to. The cross is so important, because there still has to be justice. Someone had to take that punishment, because we've just seen that you can't just sweep it under the carpet. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was saying, I can take that punishment on me. And so the judgment would be paid by him. And so instead of seeing your filthy rags, when God looks at you, he sees clean linen, and that's all because of Jesus. Because your sin is great, but God's forgiveness is just so much greater. And what he asks is exactly the same as what he asked Noah. He asked for trust. But this time it's trusting in Jesus that he can save you and he can take away your sin. Because ultimately, if you haven't done that for yourself now, you've got a choice. Either you let Jesus take the punishment and the justice, or you take it for yourself, because it will be paid. But once you have asked Jesus in your life, it completely changes the meaning of the story. So it becomes completely different. It becomes a story of joy and encouragement. So it's a story of justice, because we're told that God brings this justice in this passage. So I'm sure if you can look around, you can probably think of loads of examples where there's no justice. So you might think of serial killers or rapists. You can just think, where's the justice there? There isn't really any. But this passage is saying that God absolutely hates sin. It's vile to him. It's worse than what we think of it. He hates it so much more than we hate it. And so you might think, Hitler kind of got away with it because he killed all those people, took his own life and died on his own terms, and that was it. You can kind of think there's no justice there. But this is a shadow of future justice. Ultimately, everyone will pay for their sin unless you've asked God to take it for you. So we can often think his judgment is quite a bad thing, kind of this angry God who just wants to kill everybody, but that's not true. Judgment can be brilliant, because judgment is getting rid of all the wrong. It's purging the world of sin. And I think that'd be an amazing world if you've got no hurt, no pain, no loss or suffering. And if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be afraid of that because Jesus has already paid it for you. So as Christians, we all mess up. Maybe you get really angry at people really quickly, your housemates. Maybe you just can't say no to that extra drink when you're down at the pub. Maybe you slept with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Or maybe when you're older, you look back over your life and you think, I've done so much wrong, how can God still accept me? Well, the point is that you're on the ark if you're saved. If you've asked Jesus to take away your sin, you're on the ark, so that doesn't matter. And maybe you've bullied people. Maybe you've been bullied by people. And you can just think, where's the justice? That person that bullied me, that was horrid to me all my life, where's the justice for them? Well, there might not be justice in this world, but ultimately there will be. Because either they pay for their sin or Jesus pays for it for them. But the second thing you get if you're a Christian is security from this passage. So I'm sure we've probably all had times where you've looked at your Christian life and you've doubted grace a bit. Surely I've been too bad for God even now. I'm supposed to be changing, but I keep doing these things wrong. Well, here's a little bit of an example. So Karen drives me to MMTC, which is like my training course that I go to every Thursday. And I have like perfect faith in her driving. I think she's a fine driver. But thinking about it, there's loads of things that could go wrong. So Karen could just stop in the motorway and be like, nope, Josh, get out. I'm not taking you tonight. You just leave. And I'd have to because I wouldn't be able to overpower her. The other thing she could do, she could just drive into, I mean, this is slightly more morbid, she could just drive into a lorry and just kill us both just because he doesn't want to get me to MMTC as well. Now, all these things are plausible until you meet Karen. See, I know Karen, I know it's not in her character to do that. Like, if she was a psycho, I wouldn't have gotten in the first place. Or if I knew she drove as slow as Andy, then I'd never get there anyway. But the thing is, I know her character. So I know she wouldn't do that. And I know she gives me lifts because she wants to get me to MMTC. And in this passage here, we see God's character. And throughout the Bible, we see God's character. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says that God bought us at a price. And that's because he cares for us and he loves us and he wants to see us through. He didn't allow Jesus to die on the cross just to then let you just drift off or kick you out of the ride halfway through. So Jesus has paid it all for you already on the cross. And when you're in the ark, you are safe. So the waves still crashed about when Noah and his family were in the ark. And it was probably still really scary, huge waves coming in, bashing against it. And do you think it was easy for them? Because I don't think it was. What happens when they saw all the dead people, their neighbours that were around them in the water? What happens when it was roasting and the rain had stopped coming down and there was no water for them to drink? Or what happened when Shem started acting just like the people that God had destroyed? But ultimately it didn't matter because they were on the ark. So you might keep messing up. You might argue with your kids all the time. You might get drunk all the time. When people ask you about Jesus, you might be too afraid to speak to them because you don't want the ridicule. But Jesus paid for that already on the cross. And it doesn't weigh you down anymore. And when you're a Christian, you can come and start again because Jesus has set you free from that. So it's not easy. But not only does this give us security and justice, but if you're a Christian, this gives you a new beginning, a new hope. So this isn't just a story of judgment, but there's lots of hope in there as well. So chapter 8, verse 18 tells us that after the floods had gone, Noah stepped out on the ark onto an almost new earth. It's completely wiped. And in Christianity, we're given a new hope as well. So we're given both mercy and grace, forgiveness, but on top of that, eternity with God in paradise, a place where there's no pain, no loss, no greed, no lust. Every day just keeps getting better and better. And it's just ridiculous because all I can do is offer my dirty rags, but he gives eternity in return. And it's just hard, so hard to imagine because you just don't get that in this world anymore. It's just all about you do something bad to me, so I do something bad to you as well. But the thing is about God, love isn't just an attribute that he has, it's who he is. So even before the creation of the world, God the Father, God the Son and the Holy Spirit were in a loving relationship together. And that love was completely fulfilling and spilled out into creation. He's like the fountain of love which just keeps on giving. If a fountain stops producing water, it's no longer a fountain. In the same way, if God stopped producing love, he wouldn't be God anymore. So just in closing, you might think, have I gone off on a bit of a tangent? Like, why am I even telling you this? I'm telling this to try and encourage you, because this, if you're a Christian today, this is the God that you have, the God that keeps loving and keeps forgiving and has paid everything for you. But if you're not a Christian today, I just want to ask maybe something you can think about, just what's stopping you? Because there is no middle ground. You're either on the ark or you're off the ark. You're either outside in the storm or in Jesus' care. Jesus is either your saviour or he's your enemy. So don't wait till the ark is shut before you make your decision. Come now and have Jesus as your saviour and friend who guides you through it all. So I'm just going to pray just before I hand it back to Matt and the band. So let's pray. God, I just want to say thank you that you are the ark and you are the safe place for all who believe in you. And I thank you that nobody is too sinful to come to you, but you want all to come to you and all to be saved. And I just pray for anybody who might be feeling the weight of their sin today. I pray that you allow them just to bring it to you and see your forgiveness. Amen.